Okay, we'll pray really quick and then we get started with today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We thank you so much for your presence. We thank you so much for the laughs we have together, the stories we tell, for the community we have together. Lord, the reason why we have the love for one another, the love that we spend time together, Lord, is you, Lord. You taught us how to love. You taught us how to be compassionate. You taught us how to, Lord, find Lord, our community in you. Find our brothers and sisters and connect with them, Lord. I pray today that you would, Lord, show us your word today. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you change us today, that we're not just gaining information, Lord, but today we want to gain wisdom. We want to gain knowledge of who you are, Lord. We want you, Lord, to come and dwell and break every door and come into every dark room of our life, Lord, and just take control in Jesus'
In
name.
Jesus' name,
Amen.
amen.
So last week, guys, just a quick reminder, chapter 4 was very much about building monuments so people can remember. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have, all of us, you know, that we tend to forget God's mercies and God's grace. We tend to forget what God has done in the past. We turn our heart so quickly when something comes our way. You know, when Jesus said, go to the other side, it means that we will go to the other side. You know, but a lot of times we forget. God wanted to make sure that the Israelites would remember this day. Would remember because you know he split that Red Sea wide open, and just a few hours later they grumbled. They're just a few hours later after they say, saw this amazing miracle, they complained and felt like, oh, what are we doing here in this wilderness? Where is the food? Where is the water? Where is this? Where is that? So God told Joshua, make sure that you have 12 stones taken from the bottom of the Jordan where the priests are there. And we said that there is significance there, that no matter what is going, and make sure that you have them so your children and your children's children can see them and ask, what are these stones for? Oh, these stones, when God split that Jordan, when God stopped the flow of the Jordan, when God gave us the ability to walk through that Jordan, when God delivered us. And we talked about how we need to witness to our children, how we need to witness that during the toughest times, God came through, during the impossible, God through, that we need to witness that we had help from people around us. Those priests were standing in the middle of the Jordan, bringing the presence of God, stopping the flow of the Jordan. We need to witness to our children that there are people who are big, big blessings in our lives, and we need to be also the same to others. We saw also that there is another set of stones that's in the middle of the Jordan. We saw that God is trying to remind them because God knows how quickly they forget. God knows how quickly we forget. So we're trying as human beings to always remind, I mean, as married or as church or as believers, we're trying to remind each other all the time of what God has done for us. So the last time was about setting up those stones. And we talked about it's important to set up some stones in our lives, in our families, to our children, and for people around us. Today, we'll go through Joshua 5. And it starts with something really amazing. And once we start just the first verse, then we're gonna go into one of the toughest, if not the toughest battle in the Bible, the battle of or the decision to circumcise the people. But before we get there, verse 1 was very interesting to me. It says, now when all the Amorites all the Amorites kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanites kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. The first verse here we want to look at is how that everyone who thought they were safe behind their armies, they thought they were safe behind their walls, they thought they were safe behind their connections and possessions and money. Now they know that the judgment time is coming. Now they know that God has been waiting for them to repent for over 400 years, and they would not repent. They would not give their lives to the Lord, and they practiced some of the worst things that you can ever imagine. They practiced idolatry, adultery. They practiced throwing their children in the fire to satisfy the gods. They practiced, you know, horrible, horrible sins. And God has given them this amazing, beautiful land. And instead of thanking God and giving God the glory, they just indulged in the flesh. They indulged in sexual sins. They indulged in everything that would please them. And now it's time for judgment. And this is great encouragement because, you know, a lot of times as believers, we forget that we have a winning God. We forget that our God is already victorious. We forget that God already won every battle before we even go through it. Mm-hmm. You know, in Acts 24, 25, there's a great verse there. When Paul was brought up to Felix, he was like one of the governors or mayors or whatever, one of the, you know, those leaders. When Paul was brought in front of him, so it says this, as Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix, listen to this. Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave when I find it convenient, I'll send you." Wait a second. Felix was afraid while he is the governor. Paul is a prisoner at that time. A prisoner. He's in chains. And the governor, who's like got his bodyguards and all of that, he's the one that was terrified and afraid. You know, this is what happens when we don't have God. If we have God, it doesn't matter how many chains we have around us. We are encouraged, we're brave, we have the light at the end of every tunnel. But when we don't have God, no matter how many walls around us, no matter how many armies around us, there is nothing but fear. The other thing is that crossing the Jordan is not the end of their journey. It's actually the beginning of their journey, you know, because we hear that there are kings, there are armies, there are walls. So when we talked about crossing the Jordan and being, you know, being buried and risen with Christ as a new creation, you know, that doesn't mean everything is going to be on pilot control or automatic autopilot or no. That means now we are free to live the life that God has for us. Mm-hmm. Now that God has given us this new nature, that we can start saying no to sin, we can start saying no to the old life that we had before. They heard what God they heard about what God and the and that was the reason for their fear. And let me tell you, that enemy that keeps tormenting all of us, that keeps waging wars at all of us, could you please remind him sometime, as I remind myself to remind him of this, that he is already defeated, that he was stripped of all powers and authorities on the cross, that he no longer has control over anything, and he cannot touch me. He cannot even touch one hair of my head without the knowledge and the permission of my Lord and Savior, of my Father, of the one of our Redeemer. So as those kings were terrified, please remind your enemy that he is terrified, that he's the one that's scared, not you. You and I should not have an anxiety. I know that's easier said than done because we're going through life and we're going through things, but that's the practice that we need to do. We need to practice reminding ourselves that we are already victorious in Christ and our enemy is already defeated. And here is the question. Here are a couple of questions for us. Shouldn't we be encouraged to know that the enemy was defeated and his power was stripped away? Shouldn't we be encouraged when we know that our biggest opposition has been already defeated? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we be encouraged when we hear that we are no longer slaves to this flesh to let us do whatever it wants to do, but we are now under a new covenant with Christ. Shouldn't we be encouraged that we now we have hope that this is nothing but a tent that's going to go away and one day we're going to be in heaven with Jesus? Shouldn't we be encouraged as the world has a lot of fears because of where they are, because of who they follow, because they follow a defeated king? Shouldn't you and I be encouraged and feel like there is today, there is hope for us? You know, that all of our troubles, all of our sickness, all of the things we're going to go through, all of this is going to go away. Mm-hmm. Because we have already been given victory over all of it.
So also, it's important to remember that as they were crossing the Jordan and actually getting ready to hear a pretty difficult command coming from Joshua, we're about to hear about that. And that's our sort of our main event for tonight. But God was doing a work in these enemies' hearts. Their hearts were melting with fear. And this is the fear that we're talking about, terror, right? Not reverence. We talked about the difference between those two things. They were afraid for their lives. And God is working even when we're not aware. That's a very important, it seems to be a theme that kind of carries us through so many of these Bible studies. But remember, meanwhile, Boaz was at the city gates, 30 miles up in Adam, the water is stopped when you don't know, when you're about to put your foot in that raging water. And then here we are now, they're about to be circumcised. And what's happening on the other side is that their enemies are in terror. They're shuddering at the thought of being with them. Let's get to the main event though. The battle of the circumcision is what we're calling this tonight. And let's start in verse 2 and we'll just read all the way through, right? We'll read all the way through. And then we'll go through it. So in verse 2 it says, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibbath Harluth. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up sons in their place. And these were the ones that Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they had healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place will be called Gilgal to this day. And we'll talk about Gilgal a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about background, what was happening here. Remember that when the people of Israel, when the Jewish people left Egypt, there were several that went out to figure out if the land that God had promised them, if they were able to enter it. And Joshua and Caleb were a couple of people that came back and said in Numbers chapter 14, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, hey, it's tough over there, but we can take it. Like the land is good. We can take it. But the people of God at the time were like, nope, not going to do it. And their hearts were rebellious. And it really brought out the wrath of God at the time. And God was ready to take them out at that moment. And Moses kind of petitioned the Lord and said, Lord, you can't do this. In so many words, I'm paraphrasing, of course, what happened in Numbers, but Lord, you can't do this. You can't kill them all because they're living and breathing testimony of what you did, right? That was his pitch to the Lord. And God basically said to them in Numbers 14, verse 20, it says, "The Lord replied, 'I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times over, not one of them will ever see the land I promised as an oath to their ancestors. No one has treated me with contempt will ever see it.'" So these were the people that Asam spoke of. They really just were stiff, a stiff-necked people. That's how the Bible refers to them. They just didn't want to do what God told them to do. And the Lord was pretty fed up with them and said to Moses, I'm going to take him out. Moses spoke to him and said, "Please, please have mercy on them." And the Lord did by sparing their lives. But God knew what was going to happen. These people went around roaming the wilderness even after that. Now, likely when the people of God left Egypt, Joshua and Caleb, who were the two kind of, holding on to God's promise, were likely in their 20s, okay, of military age, likely in their 20s. Remember, 40 years had passed. So now, as we're crossing the Jordan, they're likely somewhere in their 60s. They're not spring chickens, but they're able to do these things. And they were the only two remaining that were circumcised. They were the only ones remaining that were circumcised. All the other men of that generation had died in the wilderness. And what was remaining were their sons, the next generation. Remember, the crossing of the Jordan was the first time that generation had truly experienced that type of like profound miracle. Before that, they had only heard the story of the Red Sea. They hadn't necessarily experienced the Red Sea. These were children that had been born in the wilderness. So it was really important for the circumcision to happen. Now, I know we're going to talk about this in great detail, in great, great detail tonight. But just as a big picture, it's important to know that although the circumcision is something physical that's happening to them, it really is very symbolic of something spiritual that also takes place.
So one second, let me. Yeah. So going back to Genesis, and you guys, if you want to write this down, going back to Genesis 17:9, this is when God made the covenant with Abraham. Listen to these words. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any circumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people." Listen to this again. Any circumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broke my covenant. As Dina said, that this was an outward action for an inward attitude, okay? So this is where it came from, back. First, when God was talking to Abraham, okay? Before Jacob, before Isaac, before the people of Israel, before any of these people, this was the covenant that God made with them because God wanted to make sure that they put the flesh to death. Mm-hmm. God wanted to make sure that they can experience the pain of putting the flesh to death. Yeah, it's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely difficult. It's extremely hard. But that's going to be we're going to talk about this in a few minutes now, which is what our thing now is, the circumcision of the heart. Okay, is when we put ourselves, when we put the flesh, when we put that heart into death. So,
and if leaving Egypt is an expression or symbolic of us repenting and turning to the Lord, entering into the promised land is symbolic of us walking in God's full plan and full purpose for our lives. Circumcision is the picture of complete and total surrender that we have to the Lord. Again, it's the outward expression of what's happening actually in the heart. Now, during this time, it was also a symbol of the covenant or the contract that God's people had with him. So why circumcision, I guess? Benson commentary, which is like one of my favorite commentaries to read, put it this way. This is why circumcision. Five reasons. It's a testimony of the reconciliation between God and his people. Their parents' rebellion was no longer being held against them. It was like, okay, they really messed up and that really angered the Lord. But now it's a new day. We're reconciling and starting afresh. So it was a reconciliation. It was to prepare them for the approaching Passover, which we're going to talk about, because you had to be circumcised in order for the Passover to happen. And they had just not been doing this. The other thing is to try their faith, because it's pretty hard to submit to a command like that. Don't you think? That's not the easiest command to hear. We just crossed the Jordan. We're finally in the promised land. Now, guess what's happening next? I mean, that's not exactly what you expect. Mm. That's not the best celebration of crossing the Jordan. It also was to distinguish them from the Canaanites that they're about to go they're about to go battle, right? It was to distinguish them because God's people had to be different, had to have a characteristics that were different than the Canaanites. And then finally, it was to seal the contract or the covenant between them and God. And really, we're going to focus on that the most tonight, because we really believe that that application is the truth for us today.
But, you know, if you look at the verse 2, just really quick, you know, I want us to also think, if we are Joshua and if we are the Israelites, because right now we're doing Bible study. So it's easy for us to say, oh, it's the covenant, it's putting the flesh to death. Like, that's easy for us, right? Because we're here, you know, thousands of years later. But let's look at that situation and try to place ourselves in that place where it says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelite again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at this place, right? Now, these are not like, they're not make, like there is no anesthesia. There is no like sharp tools, you know, surgeons and all of that. That's going to be a very painful process, okay? Really, Lord, we just crossed the Jordan. You just gave us this amazing victory. And that's what I want us to really, one of the things we want us to focus on today. You just gave us this amazing victory and this amazing miracle. Now you follow it. I mean, now I thought like we're going to celebrate, right? We're going to have a big party, correct? But instead, you're telling us to do this. That's very painful. But see, God doesn't usually follow his victories with celebrations. God follows his victories with a check to the flesh, because it's so easy. It is so easy. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to be prideful. It's so easy to keep our eyes away from God and look at our own achievements and the things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to celebrate and indulge in celebration and forget that our work is not done yet. You know, the circumcision after this great miracle was necessary for people to sit in pain to sit in pain and still rely solely on God. Rely completely on God. If you come to me as a leader of an army and you tell me, all right, you just crossed the Jordan. Now you irritated all of the kings in this whole area. And okay, Lord, yeah, I know you got me in this place. Now what? Are you going to send like angels with swords and things so they can fight for me? No, I want you to circumcise everyone so they're not even going to be able to walk, nonetheless, you know, go to war.
Yeah.
You know, it does not make any sense. Also, it did not make any sense when that woman had 2 pennies left and she went and gave them at the temple. It does not make any sense when you are facing 100,000 soldiers and God tells you just take 300 and you will win. It does not make any sense where all you have in this raging sea and raging storms is this very small boat that's about to break. That's your only way of surviving. And someone is telling you, why don't you step out of the boat and walk? It's a lot of times God's orders or God's word doesn't make sense to you and me. And that's okay. I'm going to tell you this right now. It's okay that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It does not make sense to you right now, but you will understand it later on. Because let me give you some reasons that I wrote down. A plan, God has a plan, and that plan is much bigger than our understanding. And it's okay to say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand it right now. I don't understand what you're doing right now. Jesus himself said that to the disciple. He said to them, you do not understand what I'm doing right now, but you will understand one day. You know, a lot of times we don't know why God is putting us through what he's putting us through. I don't understand why God is putting you through the pain that you're going through, putting me through the pain that I'm going through. But one day I will understand it. I might not understand it now, and I have to be okay with that. See, a lot of times we want to understand God step by step. Why did you allow this to happen? And I want to know right now. Well, what if you do know right now? Is that going to help you? No, it's not going to help you. What will help you is trusting that God is doing something good for you. What will help you is that you know that all things work together for the best for those. This is an important part, guys. Before we get into this, the circumcision of the heart, I want us to look at the time of pain that God allows, especially after the time of victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because after a time of victory, again, we're expecting what? Celebration. We're expecting a big party. We're expecting great things. And God comes and say, circumcise them. That's not the party that I was looking for. Really, it's not. So it's okay to not understand. God's plans are bigger than our understanding. God has a plan that will help our spiritual well-being. He's after removing anything from the flesh. That place they're going to be, the Gilgal, will be the place that will be remembered forever in their minds and in their heart that this is the place where they condemn the flesh. They condemn the work of the flesh. They condemn anything that's deceiving from that heart and come back in repentance and come back and say, you know what, God, I'm no longer living for me. I am living for you. God is after the spiritual well-being, even if it takes toll on the physical well-being. I know that doesn't sound, you know, good to any of us because we want it all together. You know, I want to be strong, healthy, and handsome, and rich, and prosperous, and all of that. And at the same time, I want to be a saint. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes we need a little bit of, you know, heat to cleanse us from some stuff, you know. And that also, he has a plan that will increase our faith in him. While they were circumcised, you know, they couldn't move. Couldn't you, as a Joshua, as a leader of that group, wouldn't you think, well, how am I going to lead this army? And you're telling me to very much make every man here in pain for days and days and days. How am I going to lead an army of people that can't even walk? How am I going to lead an army of people that are that are in pain. Well, God has a plan for that. God is trying to heal them, heal their hearts first before he asks them to go and take any battles. And the respect and obedience that Joshua shows here tells you why he was chosen by God. This is a man that follows God, whatever God says. I mean, as an army general, what God asks him to do is truly against any advice he should receive from, or against any advice that anyone would give. You're about to go to war, and you're telling me to very much destroy your whole army like that. But Joshua had so much respect and for God and love for God that whatever God said, he obeyed it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When the leader has that kind of obedience and has that kind of respect for God, his followers do the same exact thing. Joshua is now asking all these warriors, all these soldiers to come and be circumcised at an old age. This is not an 8-year-old kid that their blood and their bodies work in miraculous ways that as soon as they're circumcised, you know, the blood clots right away and there is healing within, you know, just a few hours. No, we're talking about adults. These are grown men. But you know what? They see the obedience and the respect that their leader has for God, and they have no choice but to do the same thing. You know, a lot of times we need to set that example for our families, for the people we work with, for our churches, for our neighbors. We need to set the example we're trying to have them follow. And Joshua sets that example for everyone. It's not an easy thing to ask. It's not, by any means. It's not an easy thing for you and I to go through. When God tells us, after a moment of victory, after a moment of joy, after a moment of great deliverance, when God says, yep, circumcision time. This is the time where you condemn the flesh. This is the time that you put the flesh to death. I'm going to read you a few verses right now, and we're going to talk about the circumcision of the heart. Because as we said, this was the sign for the Old Testament. Okay, we're not talking about the New Testament. I'm not asking anyone here to go get, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the circumcision of the heart. In Jeremiah, even in the Old Testament, so Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who's talking to the people of God who were in some of the worst spiritual phase of their lives, to the people of Israel, okay? Jeremiah is explaining to them that, hey, homie, it doesn't mean that you went to get circumcised. That means you're not, it doesn't just mean that that's all you need, okay? He tells them in Jeremiah 4:4, it says, circumcise yourself to the Lord. And he explains it by saying, circumcise your hearts. Okay? See, the Israel people thought, hey, I am the descendant of Abraham. I am circumcised. I'm good to go. Uh-uh, homie. What we're talking about here is the circumcision of the heart. What we're talking about here is condemning the heart. In Deuteronomy 10:6, it says it again, circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. What Dina was just sharing a few minutes ago about how the people of God were always stiff-necked. They always disobeyed him. And right here, to avoid that stubbornness, to avoid that pride, to avoid that anger they always carried, what do you need to do? You need to circumcise your hearts, that your hearts have some extra things that don't need to be there, that you're still acting based on what your fleshly desires are telling you. And this is one of my favorite here. It says this, Colossians 2:10. It says, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. That's great, right? And in 11, it says this, in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here, yeah. Paul is making that distinction, the difference, distinction is between, you know, the circumcision by hand that they used to do and the circumcision by Christ. When you are giving that new heart by Christ, you know, crossing the Jordan, meaning that I left everything behind and I'm ready to live as a new creation, right? Circumcision of the heart, meaning that in every battle, I am ready to put my flesh to death. I am ready in every situation to say no to the flesh. When I'm walking down the street and I see a beautiful house and a beautiful car or a beautiful this or a beautiful that, I am putting that flesh to death. No, I'm not going to let my flesh, you know, take over. Honestly, just a few minutes ago, right before the Bible study, we went downstairs to make some tea. And I'm trying to really like watch what I eat, especially at night. And I see something and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need peanut butter. It's my weakness. I've shared this with you guys. I've been sharing it for the last 6 years and it remains my weakness. It's peanut butter. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I want to have a bite so bad, but I'm done with my calories for the day, trying to eat clean, you know, and I am trying so hard. And it just reminded me, like, how weak am I? Like to just look at this thing, like this is the work of the flesh. Like I'm not hungry. You know, I had a wonderful dinner. I had something to drink. Like I don't need any more food. But it's so hard to say no, you know, and I was just reminded of this verse right away. I was reminded of the study today that I need to put that flesh to death. You know, it's great that we have the new creation. It's great that we are risen with Christ. It's great that we cross the Jordan. It's great that we left Egypt and we left the wilderness. It's great for all of that. But without putting the flesh to death, we're not going to be able to get our promises. And it's going to be painful. It's not going to be easy. Do you think it was easy for me to say no to the peanut butter right now? You have no idea. It's much harder than any pregnancies. I'll tell you that right now. Just kidding. It's so hard, but it's a must. And then the Gilgal, this place, becomes the place where they always and will always remember that this is the place that they put the flesh into death. And then there, where is the verse at the end? And we will end with this that says, the reproach of Egypt. Where is it?
9, verse 9.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal. Gilgal means removal. Okay? Gilgal means that this thing is gone. Like we removed it away. Right? So God is telling Joshua that from this day, Joshua, the reproach of Egypt, the way, the mindset of Egypt, the mindset that you were a slave, the mindset that you couldn't do something, the mindset that you were unable, the mindset that you were dead, the mindset that you only lived by the flesh and you only hoped to be close to the pots of meat and onions and garlic and all of that. The hope, this mindset of Egypt that made you only think of the fleshly things is completely removed from you. You know, what God is after today isn't for us to give him a physical sign, to go to the doctor and, you know, perform something, whatever it is. That's not what God is after. What God is after today is that we would have that heart circumcision, that we would have a sign that our hearts are now complete and fully given and devoted to God. You know, is it easy? Again, no. Look at what Joshua went through. Look at what the Israelites went through. But I understand that God has a bigger plan, even if I don't understand the plan itself. But I do understand that God has a bigger plan. I understand that God has a plan for my spiritual well-being. So while I'm going through the pain I'm going through right now, while I'm exercising that circumcision of heart, while I'm putting my flesh to death, while I'm condemning the flesh, I know that God is working something bigger in my spiritual life. And I know for a fact that all these things are going to work together for the good. I know that God has a great plan for every single one of us. And I know that the promises are real. I know that the promises are just a few minutes away. You know what's stopping me? Is the flesh. And that has to be put to death right now. That was our very quick summary for today. And I know there must be a lot of questions, a lot of comments. So please share with us. We'll do our best to answer as much as we know. And if not, we have a lot of great people that can help as well. Or if you have a comment, please make sure to share it as well. It doesn't have to be a question.
I have a comment. Maybe I don't understand well, but my first question is, it's not a question now because I thought another thing, but I question myself how they know the news so quick when they are crossing the Red Sea and the Amalekites or the people on the other side know what happened so quick. So now you say after they going across the Jordan, they circumvent all the army. So maybe they can know they got advantage from to them to attack them, and because they are like
in pain,
yeah,
and probably had to be there for a little while. I mean, there was time for that news. There was time for that news to go on, but that's a really interesting point. I hadn't even thought of that actually, Marcel. That's really great.
Yeah, it's kind of like I say, they give you advantage to the other army to attack them, because I read before they do like a trick. I read in the Old Testament. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, they do the same thing to attack the other army, and
right.
they
do. Right. Yeah.
They trick them.
Yeah,
they trick them,
yeah. Yeah. Actually, and it's not just like, this was not honestly like now that we're, you know, it's not just the physical pain that the men were going through, but can you imagine the stress that the women were also having? Because now they're the ones that are serving, now they're the ones that are helping, now they're the ones that feeding everyone. They're very much playing nurses to all these men who are, you know, very much laying, you know. So it was a challenging time. It was a challenging time for all of them. But you know what? It was the beginning of the victory. It was the beginning of the victory. They had to rely on God. Honestly, this is the only thing that I can explain, that they had to rely completely on God.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Great observation.
I want to know, why is it said the pain that the men have to go through, you know, in the circumcised, why only the men? Any reason the men have to go through that pain?
Another woman?
And not, yeah.
That's a great question, Pastor Al.
Yeah. You were reading it.
That's good.
The men going through that pain, right? So, but I was thinking maybe because us women go through that pain in having babies, but we go through that pain all the time when we have babies. If we have four babies, that's, you know, mm-hmm. You guys only one time. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, and just even more, so more aligned with sort of what you're saying is really it was, if we're talking about it as being a covenant mm-hmm. with the Lord, then I guess the question is, why weren't the women asked to perform that same covenant? I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, Pastor.
There's in the Bible narrative, in the story of the scriptures, there's a principle that is the principle of a covering.
Yes.
The principle of the covering is the man is the head of the household. So symbolically, what's happening with him is symbolically happening with the entire household.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to look at this from a literal standpoint, physically speaking, it only makes sense that the man would get, you know, go through mm-hmm. this process. But from a spiritual standpoint, he is the one that's responsible before God as the priest of the home, as the head of the home, mm-hmm. that what's happening in his life, in his heart, is going to cover the entire thing. And you can go back and read in Acts 16, verse 31, where Paul is speaking to the jailer, and he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household.
Yes, that's good.
Because he's talking about there's a covering that happens there. And so that's my understanding of why this happens.
That's good. I knew you had the answer.
I knew the answer, but I just wanted to give him a chance. I didn't.
That's awesome. That's great. Great question.
Yeah. Do you guys mind if I add just a one little quick
thing? Please.
Yes.
Every chapter, I believe, has a flagship theme. That I think is something that we need to practice on a daily basis. So chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, each of them has something. So in chapter 1, the Lord is speaking to Joshua, and he says to him, be strong and be very courageous. In other words, take courage in the words that I'm speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm to take courage from the word of God daily as to who God is and who I am in him. In chapter 2, he says, go spy out the land. That again is me going into the word of God and searching out what the land is for me, the promised land that God has for me in the scriptures. In chapter 3, he says, cross over the Jordan. So on a daily basis, we are doing that, dying to self and then rising on the other side with two sets of stones that you guys mentioned last time.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, right? In chapter 4, we're setting up the memorial stones. I'm remembering constantly what God did with me in the past. I'm journaling things down. And I keep it fresh and I keep it alive because I tend to forget. As some things he forgets, I forget 100 times more. True story. And then in chapter 5, he talks about the circumcision, which is, of course, of the heart, which is something that has to be done on a regular basis. And it's not something that happens just one time. It's something that happens on a regular basis.
That's right.
And the way that I envision this, and excuse me for getting graphic for a second, but this is where someone gives Joshua a sharp knife or a sharp piece of rock, a flint knife, and hands it to him, and he says, carve out of me whatever it is that you want to carve out of me.
It's good.
And the way that we do that with Jesus is when we take the word of God and we say, whatever word you are speaking to me, whatever doesn't belong in my life and my heart, I give you permission to carve it out of me. And so chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is something to be done on a daily basis.
That's so good. What a great summary.
Yeah. It's something that Paul said, I die daily. So we are dying daily. We are living daily. We are learning daily. We're growing on a daily basis.
So good.
It's amazing.
Excellent.
Amen.
Great. Thank you so much for that. That's so good.
And I know it's a hard process. I know, like, to come and have the word of God to ask our Joshua to cut anything that doesn't belong. But, and I know it's painful, but let me tell you, it is a lot more painful if we don't do this. You know, not only that, this pain will bring glory at the end. The pain of circumcising our heart, the pain of coming and surrendering to God or to our brothers and sisters, because I can give that knife to someone, say, you know what? I want you to tell me what's going on in my life. I want you to tell me what's going on in my heart. We have been, one of the things we shared with you guys before, we've had truly the best year and a half or so of our marriage. And one of those things, we pray a lot, we study a lot, and we decided to be open and transparent about anything. For 19 years, we loved each other so much that we did not want to hurt each other's feelings. So Dina would know that there's something in me that needs to be changed, but because she loves me, she doesn't want to tell me because she doesn't want to hurt my feelings. You know? But with the last year and a half was so different because we gave each other that permission that in love and in support, we would help each other and be open and transparent. That, let me tell you, God has been showing a lot of things that needed to be removed.
Yeah.
A lot of things that needed to be removed. Is it easy? Nope. Does it cut deep? Yes. But you know what? The benefit that we're reaping right now from those procedures outweighs anything that we, anyway, any pain that we ever went through.
Amen.
You know, this is the same exact thing that God, we can come to God and say, here it is, do whatever it is that you can do, what you want to do with us. I know it will be painful. I know it will take getting used to, but I know there is glory that will come after that.
Amen.
There is power. Amen. There are the promises. There is freedom. There is just freedom that we've never had before.
Amen. Anything else anyone have to say or ask? You know, one last thing that I wanted to mention, we've been talking for over a year now, actually, since we started studying the book of Jonah, about how God is in pursuit of us, right? God is pursuing us. We've been talking about it over and over. It's been the theme of almost every Bible study we've had. And I was really struck by that in this chapter, that God said to Joshua, go circumcise them, because he was pursuing them in the covenant that he had made with their fathers that had been broken, and he was ready to reconcile them. He went after them. This was an act of God's pursuit. And I really, truly believe, just as Pastor also said it so well, that God is really pursuing us to cut out daily in us the things that don't belong, the things that draw us farther away from God, not bring us closer to him. So let's get in that operating room every day and be ready and know that God is going to take the first step. So let's pray.
Ed, does anyone have any other questions or comments before we pray? Okay. Pastor Mike, could you please pray for us?
Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you. You have given us the victory, Lord. We thank you, Lord. That you speak, you minister to our hearts, Father God. Lord, may our lives be open to you, Lord, a heart of surrender to you, Lord. Father God, may we open up our hearts, Father God, Lord, as we learn today, Lord, handing you that knife, Lord, asking you to carve out what does not belong there, Lord. Father God, reveal, expose whatever needs to be given to you, Father God, remove from our lives, Father God, we give you permission, Lord. Father God, we want to walk with you, we want to live for you, Lord, we want to glorify you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to die to the flesh daily, Lord, to seek your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the words that were spoken today, Father God. Help us to live, Father God, Lord, the lessons that you teach us in your word, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, your peace, your goodness, Lord. Father God, your life be glorified, Lord. Your life be shown through us, Lord. Father God, we give you honor, we give you glory, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father God, Lord. When we are weak, Lord, we are strong in you. We find strength in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your strength, your peace, Lord, your love. Father, we give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Next week, we'll be celebrating the Passover, and it will be a lot of fun. It will be a lot easier than this one. So get ready. It will be fun.
Bye, everyone.
For a great study, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Good night.